Well, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. And it's for me very important to come and talk about the work of African artists and to talk about African publication and to actually meet Florina, who is doing a great job with NICE in Africa. I'm outside Africa, she's inside. And well, to us, it matters a lot to show the work and show that lots of things are going on the continent.
I also want to thank for the invitation. It's very nice to be here. And I mean, in the end, it's always the knowledge is always very limited. But I'm always happy to like share and provide, and most of all, share the work of some very amazing photographers that I get to collaborate with. For me too, it is an extraordinary pleasure to do this together with Alix, because I also very much appreciate her work. And it's just always very encouraging to see other people do efforts and sort of go with the same vibe.
Okay. So you came to Côte d'Ivoire when you was 4. And you left Switzerland. You left Switzerland. I left Côte d'Ivoire when I was 4, and went to Paris. So how it is that you are doing NICE now? What is the path either since we were in Côte d'Ivoire?
So I since I was raised in Côte d'Ivoire, I was exposed to photography first in an Ivorian context, in a West African context, and broader in African context. So the reason I did, I started to love photography was because of the work of Ivorian photographers. And at the time also there were many Malian photographers in that area where we lived. And so for me it was always very clear that I wanted to work in Africa, because it was closer to me, let's say, than for me to work in Europe. But also, I always worked in a collaborative way at the very beginning of my work. And but I noticed over the years just how little work was given, or coming mainly works from abroad, but also works from inside certain African countries, were not often given to African photographers in place. And I found that more and more irritating and also questionable. And so that's why I founded this association, where it's kind of a mix between a support system but also a collective. So it kind of is there to bring photographers more close to the market, but also just to strengthen more positions or give more feedbacks, or and also kind of build a bigger network. So that's why I found the claim, and it's also why I do this publication, which features the different works, but also features some perspectives from certain cities through the eyes of the creatives actually living and working in that place.
Okay, so this is NICE that we have here. It's issue 2, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. Could you tell us what is NICE?
So I would say NICE is a publication that features the works of those photographers that participate in that special edition, which is always also linked to a series of workshops. And it is also, in this case now, a portrait of Abidjan, but one told through, let's say we don't have a grid, we don't say, okay, now we need some fashion, so we'll go look for a fashion photographer. It's the magazine represents the works of the people that are in that specific that participate in those workshops and the stories that they want to tell. So of course this does not fully reflect a big city like Abidjan, but it gives glimpses into specific stories and topics.
Okay. So how does the magazine is built? Because it's very special the way that you do it.
I think what is special about it is that it comes together extremely organically. So the whole magazine runs, making the magazine is a red thread through the series of the workshops. So the photographers, they are until the end involved, they are also doing part of this design themselves. And I think I want to show a video, because this is one of the things that is always very uncomfortable about showing the project in countries, let's say somewhere in Europe, is that I have to sort of be here to represent it, when sometimes it would be so nice when the photographers could share it themselves. So I just want to blend in a video, which briefly, so we talked about three of the participants, and they themselves sort of are going to say something about how Nighthood was created. It's one of the series that we have in the magazine that the photographers do together, where they talk about different neighborhoods. Here. So this is just different neighborhoods that they choose, and they go and talk about those neighborhoods, and they do it all together. So they speak about that. There are also two more questions addressed. I picked some out. This video is a lot longer, but I just picked out some questions which they answer, also like the importance for them of the digital. And then, of course, where is the line between appropriation and collaboration, which, of course, is a topic because we do work. I mean, I may have been raised in Ivory Coast, but my nationality is Swiss. And so it's always...
And please say Côte d'Ivoire.
And Côte d'Ivoire.
Oh, yes.
I do feel very Ivorian, I have to admit. Still, my passport is Swiss. Okay, so I will just blend in this video. Could we maybe just like... So since you have not seen yet, I think most of you, the magazine, before I blend in the video, just briefly what they are going to address is blackness.
It takes a little time.
Okay, so just I'm just quickly going to blend in these two images because that is the series that they are going to mention to say a bit more how that came together and how we worked on the magazine. So this is the Nighthood series. The other question also addresses how we always try in the design of the magazine. It's always a kind of shared references. And one of those shared references often is a kind of design that is used sometimes also. It can happen when someone like doesn't have, like does with the kind of skills that you can get, software skills that you can get, let's say, for free. And sometimes it has something, like this here is a typical kind of style that we had a lot of some of the photographers do. So they will talk about some of the references, which sometimes can also be like, these would be maybe rave flyers from the 90s that we would also like know in a European context. And sometimes it's kind of like these, finding these parallels. But I will show the video now.
L'histoire de Nighthood, c'était d'archiver un peu des images de plusieurs quartiers qui se trouvent dans plusieurs communes. Et je trouve que la mise en page communique de façon plus ou moins directe avec les photos parce que elle est en relation avec l'identité de ces quartiers-là.
On devait d'abord examiner le quartier pour voir quel genre de... Quand on parle du quartier, quel mot qui nous revient ou bien quel objet qu'on voit tout de suite. Voilà.
À partir de ça, qu'on a fait les mises en page, on s'est servi du mood d'expression ou de la manière dont les gens ils vivaient. Le plateau, par exemple, c'est un quartier où la majorité des affaires économiques se passent là. Enfin, je dirais que c'est un peu le CBD de Dijon, quoi, avec tous les grands buildings et tout ce qui est... Enfin, tous les monuments afro-modernistes. Sur les yards là, on reprend l'esthétique de ce quartier du plateau. Enfin, je sais pas... Comme on voit, il y a des chauves-souris à partir de 18h au plateau, dès qu'il commence à faire nuit. Et voilà, quoi, c'est quelque chose de très représentatif.
À Djamé, c'est un quartier qui bouge beaucoup. C'est un marché où tout le monde passe, tout le monde est pressé et tout. Et à Djamé, quand tu fais un truc à quelqu'un, soit si tu ne fais pas exprès que tu tapes la personne se retenait de faire... On appelle ça un tchou, genre... Donc, c'est un peu considéré comme un injure, en fait, voilà. Et donc, j'ai représenté dans le magazine un dessin, une tête qui est un peu simplifiée en forme de poisson et qui est un peu comme une caricature et la bouche qui est comme ça, voilà.
Moi, ça m'a permis aussi de m'orienter dans cette branche-là du numérique, c'est-à-dire dans la conversion design. Et tu as aussi les affiches que tu vois dans la rue, Tu vois, les publicités que tu vois à la télévision, on te montre des trucs, tout ça, ça t'influence même dans ton travail. Tu vois. Et à toi de trouver le juste milieu entre ta culture et ce qui vient de l'extérieur. Parce qu'il ne faut quand même pas faire abstraction ou se priver d'apprendre des autres. Ou faut pas imposer seulement sa culture soi-même. Il faut quand même faire du métissage. Et tant qu'il y aura du métissage, tout le monde pourra consommer ce que tu vas créer. Parce qu'il y aura un peu de tout le monde dans ce que tu fais.
En ce moment, je m'intéresse vachement à tout ce qui est appropriation culturelle et la limite du moment où c'est de l'appropriation culturelle ou c'est une collaboration ou c'est autre chose.
C'était une collaboration. C'était pas un truc du genre. Bon, c'est le prof, il dit ce qu'il veut, en fait. Les professeurs nous ont laissé ce qui était à l'intérieur de nous faire sortir. C'était pas eux, en fait, qui ont fait le magazine, c'est nous. C'est nous qui avons beaucoup de liberté, c'était la liberté.
C'est justement ça qui fait que c'est une collaboration, parce que... Enfin, on arrive à voir, du coup, des choses qui sont inspirées de Flyer Techno, des éléments, mais... Enfin, en même temps, des trucs de foutu banane, enfin, tu vois, c'est pour ça que je dis que c'est vraiment pile poil, sans plus ni moins, parce que je pense que si ça aurait été plus, ça aurait été vite chiant, et si ça aurait été moins, mais ça aurait été juste ivoirien, et enfin, là, je trouve qu'il y a vraiment un mix qui est assez équilibré, je trouve, enfin, je trouve que c'est assez chouette, quoi. Et moi ce qui me faisait le plus marrer, c'était, voilà, genre, utiliser tous ces trucs qu'on trouve partout sur les murs à Abidjan et les mettre dans un magazine, je trouve que c'est vraiment c'est bien pensé, quoi. Ce que je reproche à mes profs, que ce soit en histoire de l'art, en
sciences,
c'est qu'il n'y a pas assez de références auxquelles je peux m'identifier directement. Je fais des cours d'histoire de l'art où on parle de surréalisme, de modernisme, de dada et de je sais pas quoi, mais j'aimerais aussi qu'on parle de mouvements artistiques auxquels je peux m'identifier directement. Je pense qu'il y a quand même un grand manque de prise de conscience de qu'on est une culture artistique très grande et qui ne s'arrête juste pas à tout ce qui est masque primitif et art premier, quoi. Mais il y a des jeunes comme Théophanie et Pintroubou qui est dans le magazine, qui aussi ont des sortes de mouvements artistiques, enfin qui sont clairement des mouvements artistiques qui se développent. Et je trouve que c'est ça qui est intéressant, que nous-mêmes, en tant que jeunes, on puisse se donner les moyens d'atteindre.
Ça, c'est classe. On s'amuse en travaillant.
Parce qu'au final, en fait, le max c'était trop chaud, quoi, tu vois.
So I want to. This is actually a nice bridge with Théophane singing in Bété. And also Cédric mentioned that there's so much potential that is in place. And you say to yourself, you are Ivorian, and you say it, what do we African, what do we have?
Well, I am Ivorian from Paris, I have to say, to be honest. When I go back to Côte d'Ivoire, which is very often right now, I can feel that I belong there, but I'm not really, you know, I think you're more Ivorian than I am because of the cultural things. And But I wanted to, what do we have? It was, it's exactly what you were stating in the video. Okay, you were showing bright young art people, creative people, but the history of art in Africa is very old. It belongs to also the whole history, and that's why that's what I try to show in this journal. If you want to turn the page, please. Africa is always shown, often shown as in misery, or, you know, like we are so swag, we know how to move, we have to. But in between, we have photographers, we have thinkers, we have, well, every potential high level artist and poet and thinkers that there is everywhere else in the world. And most of the time it's convenient not to mention this part of Africa. So that's why I humblement try to do with the publication, which is now it's issue 8. I'm working on issue 8. This one is issue 3. It was based on photography. It was out last year, 2 years ago in Bamako, for Bamako Encounters. And also, what is interesting is also have cultural links between Africa and Germany. So it's about showing African artists living in Germany, or what German people do with Africa. It's always cultural links. And I try to avoid to put two colonial two countries linked by colony history in this magazine. It's very important to spread also the way people think, and also from both Anglophone and Francophone countries. Because again, either we said it's fantastic, I mean, what you do, I'm never jealous, and jealous is not the word, but I'm very proud to see, because I'm from there, to see my people and the youngest one doing stuff and being interesting and showing another face of Africa. But sometimes it's always, oh, Africa is so young. It's not young. There is a bunch of historians. We just lost Okwie Wenzo, who was a great curator and art historian. We lost also another one, BC Silva. We did this amazing book about art curating in Africa called Asiko. It's a must read. And we have here an amazing photographer who is hiding there, Akimbode Akimbihi. I mean, he's working in Africa for now, I don't know how many years, but those kids were not even ideas when he started to work. So this is really what I want to show and to express with this publication, which is not patronizing, because we've been patronized ourselves. So I don't want to do things to me that I don't want people, well, sorry, parce que I'm thinking French now. So we've been patronizing ourselves, I don't want to patronize other people. And it's also that, okay, this is what we have, this is what we have to show and to offer to the whole conversation. Voilà.
I think that's what you just mentioned, with that there is, it's often said it's a young continent, but that there is actually so much there that is also shared amongst the generation. I find the sharing amongst the generation does happen in many contexts in the different countries in Africa. But I always find that now the two points that we saw, right, this enormous potential that is there, and so many people just do works of all ages, and I always find it a big contrast, and I'm interested to know how you see that, because you are very often present in quite a bit of art fairs and quite a bit of events with your publication, and I was wondering what your experience is, because what I'm over and over intrigued by, and also literally shocked by when I visit these things, is the huge underrepresentation still of
absolute underrepresentation. Yes,
and yes, and sometimes when there is only one person showing, it's even worse. It's like, oh, now we have this one African, I don't know what. I was wondering how you, because you are way more often than me in those fairs. And I was kind of wondering what your thoughts on that were, or your observations.
Well, I have two sides. There is a fair that I see when I'm in Europe, and the other one when I see when I'm in the continent. So, of course, the one in the continent that are not underrepresented because they are there. I mean, Cape Town 154 and Bamako Encounters for the one that I really know. You're talking about underrepresentation, for example. I mean, if there is a medium in which African artists express themselves a lot, it's photography. Okay, I live in Paris, I'm Parisian, I'm French, and there is this festival called Rencontre d'Arles, which is said to be the most important in the world. And when you go there, there is the lack of representation of African artists is there is nothing to say. And this year is going to be the 50th anniversary of this fair. So it's supposed to celebrate photography all over the world, and you have all the world is represented. You have among like 60 exhibitions, you have one African artist, not living in Africa, is living in France. One, Mohamed Bourroussia, is doing a great job, is one. And you have absolutely zero African artists or black artists represented there. I was shocked when I was there. I'm not, you know, always fighting, said black people, it's not that, but I mean, you just have to open Instagram, even if you're not professional, and to see how it's flourishing everywhere, you know? And you open Instagram, you see all, thanks to smartphone, people try to express themselves, and there is also, again, a lot of great photographers, you know? If you don't want to show too much, you pick Gordon Parks, or you pick again some Malik Sidibé or another. You try to do something to represent, but there is absolutely zero. And the other thing is, they think that they represent African photography through non-African photographers having African people as a subject. So you will see when you go to Rencontre d'Arles this year, a lot of black on the photography, but they are not the person who took the photography. There is a lot of Eva Arnold. She was a great photographer. She witnesses a lot of things linked to black people. Thank you, but we saw her a bunch of time. We don't need to see her again. And I'm talking about photography, especially because it's a photography thing. But there is this lack of representation is also very present in other fields.
Yeah, I mean, I totally share that observation. Thank you for that comment about Arles, because it's really one of the places where it shocks me most, because I mean, France would have all the reasons to
have linked, yeah.
And the thing is just, in the end, it's not even about saying it's a shame. It's a shame, because that work is just amazing, and people want to see it. I mean, there is so much of it, it's hard to choose. I mean, I don't know, what goes wrong?
You should speak about your experience with the publishing houses when they ask for African artists to you, when they ask you for.
Yeah, I mean that's another problem. I mean that of course we cannot tackle with small initiatives like this. But right now the problem is still. I mean we are in 2019, but I get so many requests from big newspapers that don't know how to access African photographers, and they feel so helpless that they end up writing to me, and I'm no one. I mean I do have a network of photographers, but I'm not an agency. I definitely don't have that kind of funding, and this is not my profession, running an agency. But it just shows how much work there is still to do there. It's not that the demand is not there. But the other thing where I have begun to be very reluctant about, and I came to that point slowly, is that I also get sometimes quite a bit of emails from curators saying, hey, I'm doing this exhibition, and I just realized we still want a photographer from Africa. Can you recommend someone? And there I'm just, hey, then someone's just not doing their job, because one photographer asking for a random photographer from this big continent, it's just these photographers too have their line. There is a framing of their work, and there is a kind of, I just find there is still a lot of catch up to do in all areas. It's kind of a collective responsibility, I think, to change that. But I also see that often it's just because people do want more, or the photographers would also like to be published maybe beyond their countries, but It's just there's still a lot of work to do there. But I think the other thing that I see, at least for myself, that I observe, is that a lot is happening inside the continent. I don't find it's something that the photographers do find their opportunity inside their own countries and inside other countries in Africa. It's just, it's also a shame for the rest of the world because they're missing out on a lot. And then the other thing is that Africa is just beginning to be extremely important and you can't just ignore what's happening there. It's, yeah. Anyhow, what I had wanted to ask you though is what I've noticed about your work is that with Off the Wall, but also now with Something We Africans Got, you have a way of always putting a focus on setting Africa in the center of a dialogue. So it's always now with Off the Wall, I really enjoyed that concept as well, with bouncing these two generations off one another. And now it's always putting an African country in the context of something outside, of a country outside Africa. And I find, yeah, that's not only bridge building, that's real dialogue. And I'd like to know a little bit how that came about or why this, if that has to do with your own biography or why this focus.
Well, I started in 2013 with Off the Wall. It was a 10-issue project. It's all the copies are numbered. It was really to mix very young photographers with work from established photographers, but archives, you know, unseen work. And so it was on not only Africa, but really international photography. And so this is issue 3, which is a collector, because that is on number, it comes from my library, it's sold out now. And it was kind of eyes from Africa. So it was really photographers working on Africa, and photographers from Africa looking at Africa and the rest of the world. So you have on the cover, you have an unseen picture, the first time published of Roger Ballen, a photographer from America who is now German. You have a lot of CDB, of course. And there was also in this one a part with a non-African country, that was Japan. Because for me, who was born in Côte d'Ivoire and raised in France, Paris, the idea was always to show a link, a dialogue, you know, because you cannot be talking to yourself on your side. You have to talk to people to comfort the work to show that, oh yeah, it's equal, oh yeah, it's both are, you know, bold, or you know, we can to get to compare. And I can say that Something We Africans Got, who came in 2017, who is a kind of spin-off of this one, but extended to contemporary art, to literature, to cinema, music, all the creation. There is three part, there is a main theme, and then there is a second part, which is a cultural and intellectual field of a country chosen from Africa, and a third part, which is a non-African country, and we're trying to see which cultural links it holds with Africa. So for example, this one was photography for the theme. The country was Mali, and the other country to see which cultural links it holds with Africa was Germany, as I said. And the one that I'm now working on is architecture, Congo, and cultural links with Switzerland, which is linked to you and what you're doing. And I know that your issue 3 is actually about Johannesburg. Yes, can you tell us more?
I'm just closing the project now. It's actually not Johannesburg, it comes from Katlehong, which is a big township east of Johannesburg. I'm closing that issue now, so that's gonna be the third one. If everything goes well, it will be released beginning of July. We're still doing the fundraising to be able to print it. But that has also, again, been a very different experience than the one from Abidjan. And I just, there again, would like to show a very quick video, just a bit of lookout. It's a small excerpt of a small video that they now did to raise the funds. I'm not showing the full one. Maybe we can just... is it already? Oh, no. Can we just replug the thing? The Johannesburg issue is a bit different because it was never really planned. I had planned the new one from Cairo, and I had set it all up, but then I got an artist residence in Johannesburg, and I had planned to just do like a scene with some photographers from Katlehong, but the potential was just so amazing, and it was so much fun, and it just got bigger and bigger, and 3 months led to 8 months, and now it's actually more going to be like a book. And again, it was really nice because this time it was not at all like me us setting up the workshop. Everything happened very organically. So I just hung around Cap-la-Hong. It led suddenly to this very, suddenly we were a team, like as editors. And so there were kind of main editors now, but then there were also other people that were just contributing material to the magazine. And then suddenly they were like, hey, we'd like to like learn a bit more about writing. So I got someone in to do some writing workshops. So this time we also will have a lot more text works in it. But it's very, that one is really, really to the verge a collaboration. And yeah, I'm very excited about the project. But I'm just briefly going to show a very quick video excerpt so that you see a little bit of this.
All around Africa, and now it's just like a home, which is the East of Johannesburg, where I'm from, aka Spider. So we had different workshops, we had writing workshops, we also like spoke a lot about our work.
It's actually a great feeling and also scary at the same time, because you think, oh, what if, like, you're the only person whose work would make sense in the whole group.
Being part of the project and being exposed to Katakom and the creators of Katakom has really opened my mind to thinking of how also to approach my work differently, you know, and how to just interact with people who will not be stuck in your studio bubble and work from there.
It's a sort of like a collective where I meet, get a chance to meet other young creatives and artists and young kids who have potential.
That was just a very, very brief excerpt. I just want to show you. So this is going to be the team that we have this time. And I'm just going to click through quick slides of some of the works, just to give a little bit a look out of what's coming. So this time also the photographers come from very different backgrounds, and we also have a lot of illustration works. And this time we are also making the magazine VR, so there will be different pages that are animated. So that was a brief look at. I mean, there would be so much to say about the different, like, because I'm focused on work with a specific kind of generation, so I mainly like collaborate with people maybe between 20 and 30, also in our collective, and it's interesting for me also to see from country to country. I mean, just in the South African context, for example, of course, there is still, I mean, that democracy is extremely young, and there are a lot of issues for the young, especially the young black South Africans, concerning identity finding and also where to fit in, but also refinding their own roots together with the world they live in now. So I find that sort of runs as a red thread through many of the works that we'll be showing in that magazine. Mm-hmm. I would though now like to, I think Alex and I share one passion, and that is for print. But we also both know that print comes with a tremendous amount of challenges.
Absolutely. When you are, we are two independent publishers, let's say that. So it comes with a lot of trouble to get the funds to make it happen. Also, when it's done, you have the trouble to be distributed in Africa, because the point is to be shown on the continent, so people will see what happened and do the same. It's not only to be seen in Europe or United States. And it's a big issue. To as it's difficult for African to travel in the continent, also difficult for us to spread what we're doing there. And I don't know about the solution that will be found. But it's an issue. A distribution is an issue when you are a publisher.
Yeah. Yeah, I think especially on the African continent, it's something that is still very difficult to get into the channels, or there are.
But you manage. We manage to do it. You're going from with a suitcase, you can do. And I mean, where there was a will, there was a way. So you can find it. I mean, you are all over Africa. I think I am in Cape Town, in Marrakech, in somewhere in Lagos, in Abidjan, of course. So it's quite difficult, but we are making it and having people to. Interested in this kind of debate. It's very important to again to spread the word, and so people will pay attention most to what happens elsewhere.
Yeah, I also think I just sometimes get a bit frustrated about the imbalance, because like I find it's nice that our magazine is circulating a lot outside Africa, but I still find inside Africa, it's like in Abidjan, for example, it sells really, really well. But there I've solved the distribution with two girls, and they deliver with motorbikes. So you can just send a WhatsApp message, and that's how you order it, and they deliver it to your door. And it works really, really well. And I also have now a guy in charge, and that happens with projects like this. Like you go with passion into it, and it just attracts people with the same kind of mindset. So now I have someone, he does that for free, actually. He's the one that's like really promoting it now, and he also travels a lot for his work. So we always take some with him. So now that's also how I happen now to be distributed around West Africa, because he just always goes to these boutiques and concept stores who may want it. Because one thing that I don't want is for it suddenly only to be in Centre Culturel Français and Goethe Institute.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
The audience really is that is looking at our magazine. But it remains a challenge. But I also think where there is a will, there is a way. But the other thing, of course, is the cost of the print, which sometimes is also very challenging. But I find, especially in the context of Africa, it's really nice to have a print product. And it's also what the young people really appreciate, that they have their work published in a good quality and actually on paper. Because the one thing that is easy accessible for most is online. I mean, they do everything already online. Their whole portfolios, their whole presentations, Instagram is really important. But just to have something in print, it's also very nice.
Okay. Well, we spoke about a lot of the publications, and we were, I mean, there was this, it's about African photography. So if you have any question that can make us going further, please ask.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm quite interested in the way you deal with the workshop. How do you organize them? Because in the Abidjan, on the movie you showed, I could recognize Johanna Choumali. So I wonder how the African photographers or how the photographers living in Abidjan are involved. You mentioned also some workshop, the writing workshop in South Africa, how the South African are also involved in connecting with those young people. Thank you.
So the question is regarding the workshops, right? So that always runs very differently. I mean, sometimes it's very easy to find people in place who are willing. Often it's the will. I mean, people, first of all, are busy. Second, we can't pay much. So it's not that you have to be... You have to want to share. It really has. You have to be in this mentality of everyone teach one. If you're not in that, you don't do it. We were very lucky in both places. Like in Ivory Coast, it was really nice because we got a great support from Abbas, who runs a studio there since many, many years. He's originally from Lebanon. In Ivory Coast, it's one of the biggest Lebanese communities. And he was very generous, he gave us the whole studio for free. He's also just an amazing, passionate trainer. He also helped them a lot how to build their own gear, for example. And then we had Shoana Shumali, who also came in and did different mentorships, and also she did a lot of help and coaching, like looking at works. We had Benoit Billy, who is a journalist, an Ivorian journalist. He came in and gave the writing workshops. And we had two further Ivorian writers, two women writers. They're also very busy, but they also came in and did a lot of coachings and also the proofreadings. Now in South Africa, it was different again, because there I collaborated, for example, with Artist Proof. They have a silk screening facility, so they came in and ran silt screening workshops. I did a zine workshop with Arabetsu, who is also a South African collective doing zines. Then we had Fouad Asfour, who did the writing workshop. He's originally from Palestine. He's been based in South Africa for a long time. And he also teaches, the good thing is I also teach at Marcus Luther Workshop in Johannesburg. So I'm also very well connected with other mentors that came in. We get a very good support from the South African side. But it's also very important because that's then what also stays as a network. And that's what it's all about. It's all about connecting people. But that's also what we do, specifically now in Johannesburg. It's a great mix. So you have people from all kinds of backgrounds professionally. And that's also nice. Like Sash, for example, in the video, who said that it has really helped him get out of his bubble. I mean, Sash is a pretty known fashion designer and artist in Johannesburg. And he just happened to have the studio next door. So he suddenly was like, oh, I want to collaborate in this. And they now, for him, that was, for example, also very interesting. And that's what suddenly happened. The focus were on the artists from Katlehong, but then suddenly people from Johannesburg started joining in. So it's really about sharing, kind of, skills and knowledge, and I find that works really well.
Excuse me, what happens when you leave? Do they do their own magazine then, or what do they do with the knowledge that you leave?
Once the project is over?
Yes.
What is happening now in Johannesburg, we're testing something. So the team that has created themselves around the making of the magazine, they collaborate so well together. That they now, anyhow, they're mostly, when they do the magazine, they often already start to be very entrepreneurial about it. So they would, for example, start selling the works that they are doing for the magazine. They would like say, no, I'm not just going to do a picture, I'm going to sell that at the same time. What we are doing now in Johannesburg, what we're trying is, they are now kind of like creating an agency together. So this is kind of like the next step that I'm testing now. That we're trying to build up this hub in Katlehong where we are getting in sponsoring from different ad agencies who are actually interested in the project, where the idea is that they get like certain contracts over the year to help them. It's a bit like a social entrepreneurship pilot project that is coming together, but that is initiated by them. So it's things that that I like try and help along with what we can, like where I can connect better or where I can try and get some funding. But that is done by them. I mean, it's something, an idea that they came up with and that they are already doing now. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. I would be interested a little bit more in this aspect of what audience you are thinking about. You said that Nex is really popular in Abidjan itself, and I could pose the same question to you. Why are you here? Is this because this matter of appropriation and collaboration seems to be so obviously always the first topic you're talking about? And maybe this is not so important. I just wondered, is this growing in Africa itself? And you also said that now they're trying to grow an agency in Joburg or in this township. Why do you... I mean, it's interesting to have you here, and it's good to collaborate, and obviously, you kind of shift between cultures and Paris and Africa and Switzerland and whatever. But why is it so difficult to grow it from Africa itself? Maybe this is the core of the question.
But, well,
what I mean?
Thank you. Very, very good question. She's trying to do it from Africa. I'm doing from where I am in Paris, and she's trying to do it from Africa. And why I am here, because I've been invited and I'm very happy to be here, and because, I mean, we have to spread the world. It's not like, oh, it's not an African audience, I'm not coming. It's okay, this is useless. I mean, this is a very hard work. I'm not going to play the violin to you, but it's very like a, we say in French, in sacerdoce, maybe it's the same word, maybe you understand, it's very, very difficult, you know? You don't do that to be rich, don't do that to be like, okay, easy, easy. No, it's very difficult. So when you have the occasion to show the work, because it's about showing the work and sharing, with all, everybody, so people would know. Because if we stay on our side and don't try to make it known, and we have all the reactions to with people saying, "All those Africans always suffering, all those Africans always killing themselves, or all those Africans doing this and that," and you don't try to, I would say, teach people, only show, so it's your fault somehow. But if you're doing this and try to show it and to share, even on the internet, so, and then people still stay with their first thought, it's their problem. I mean, I would have done my part, my thing, you know? It's just me trying to bring something more and to trying to very encore humbly show what happens in there and how it's important, and just to show it, not even to be like, you know, hunger with no hunger. Just look, this is how, what happened there. And then if you are interested, fantastic. If you are not, okay, we are not supposed to be interested in everything. I mean, I don't give a damn of culture in Kazakhstan. I mean, I would love to go there, but you know, you're not obliged to be interested in everything. It's like that, this is, I found my passion doing publication, and before I had Off the Wall, and then I turned into Africa, and somehow, to myself, it's a kind of return as well, because I can say I'm Parisian, you know, again, to be honest. And going back to the knowledge of the continent, I'm the first learning a lot of things, and it's, I mean, the first one I did was Algeria, because I didn't want to start with Côte d'Ivoire. I think that we pointed out, she's doing Côte d'Ivoire. Then when I did Côte d'Ivoire, I have to confess, don't tell everybody, that I was like, oh my God, I will be talking about will be very thin, and I will be ashamed, and blah, blah. When I tried to dig, I was like, oh, stop, because it's too much, and I didn't have a clue myself from Côte d'Ivoire what's happening in the continent. So that's what, for my part, I'm trying to share, and that's why I'm here. Et toi?
Yeah, I mean, it does, because I think one of the points was that you said, why do these things, what did you say, why can't they be done from inside Africa?
Africa? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you said that there's so much going on in Africa in terms of photography, and
yes,
such amazing work, and
yes,
what you said is that it's ignored in Arles and whatever. We don't see it in the Western world, but there's so much going on actually. But on the other hand, it's you coming from Paris and you from Switzerland bringing it to Europe again.
But
this is, and I saw the Bamako, the festival, the first time in Europe last year, showing the first time outside of Africa at all. So I wonder, why is this so hard for the African photographers, which are numerous and high quality and whatever, to get visibility? Why is that so?
Well, because that is very easy to answer, because the whole engines are outside, are still, many, many of those engines are outside Africa.
Hold on. I have to say that actually somebody doing things here. It's called Invisible Borders. It's in a kind of foundation, I think, or lots of, I'm sorry, Mika, if I say, well, it's, you know, taking photography and making traveling all over Africa. And it's difficult, first, for the funding. Second, because you don't have any visa to travel. And it's easiest for her from Switzerland to get the visa to go to Côte d'Ivoire. It's easiest for me from France I want to go to Berlin. Oh, in a minute, I can take my ticket plane. I want to go to Amsterdam, to New York, to everywhere, because I have my French passport. I will get back my Ivorian passport within 2 months, and just try to travel with this. They will stop you. Like, okay, do you have a visa? Okay, you have to wait like, I don't know how many days to get it. So you can, I wouldn't have, you know, it's simply this. It's because we can. Because it's not because they don't want to do it. It's because we are allowed to do it.
Yeah, I mean that's the most important point that you mentioned. Because I don't live in Switzerland. Right now I live in Johannesburg, and otherwise I'm in Abidjan. I don't live in Switzerland. And I also, the reason I could be here now is because I was booked for a teaching mandate in Switzerland, and I was able to combine it. But also for me, it's not evident to travel to things like this, and that's why also I don't travel to many art fairs outside Africa. But we were invited to Unseen this year with the collective, and it was a huge success. But it was a crazy amount of work to try and get those flights and those visas. I mean, in the end, it was so nice because we were able to get five of the photographers in from Ivory Coast, but it was a huge thing, and it changed everything to be there. And the only reason I was ready to be there was because I knew that we had chances to get them in, because I knew that we had the Prince Claus Fund, who already had mentioned that they would be very open to help. And I mean, otherwise I wouldn't have done it, because it changed. It was such a cool experience for them, for us, because them just being there, sharing their own work. I mean, they sold so well, but also because they were there. And I mean, Kader was after nominated for the Phone Prize. No one had ever heard of him before. And he has a name in Ivory Coast, but it's not like people, it's just not that easy. And also it's not, inside there is, I think there is a lot happening in several African countries, but then it just stops. Like, you take a place like South Africa. South Africa is very evolved, like with a certain art market. But there too, it just stops at some point. I mean, it also stops for an American photographer at some point, and he also wants to show in Europe. I mean, that's dialogue, and that's sharing. I mean, it's this whole visa issue, it's a huge topic. And it's very frustrating sometimes, because you do want to share that work. And I would much prefer someone of them sitting here right now, but that is exactly what I can do with my Swiss passport, and that is a privilege that I will always have. And that is the reason. It's not that nothing, I really have to say, and I'll just bring this as an example. I mean, I work with so many young photographers in African context, and I also teach. I teach in two art schools in Switzerland. And I really have to say, I mean, there it's so often, come on, fly, you know? And when I work like with young African photographers, I have to watch that they don't fly into the windows because they're so eager. I mean, they just do. Because there is not this whole setting offered to them. You just have to create. I mean, that's what you do. It's not like they sit there waiting until they are discovered somewhere from abroad. They do their stuff, but it's just very difficult to connect when that market is still so much outside the continent. And that's why those art fairs, if they want that work, well, then they have to go to Africa, because it's very difficult for many people to get those visas to go outside.
You can all, if you are interested, look into Instagram, because Instagram is now a very, very useful tool for them, and it's a big window, and you can see it's flourishing. It's amazing how they're doing things actually on the continent for them. Not because also some of them are just not interested in showing to Paris or here. They're interested to show it to Ghana when from there, Côte d'Ivoire, or from to Lagos, or going there and there, going to Marrakech or going to Cape Town. They're also into the continent itself and not trying to show it here, because they lose like illusion. You have to say that this kind of generation here that she showed, they are not all at all, they are not at all about Europe or going abroad, you know. Of course you can see on the migrant thing on the TV, but most of the young people are there creating, they are making happening there, and you know, showing their work to themselves. When I say themselves, it's you also other countries in Africa. And they do not try really to go to Europe or anywhere else. The only, I mean, the thing, the country outside, which is still the one that they want to reach, is maybe United States, but because of the cultural thing, which is very strong, and when they take a lot of inspiration from. But otherwise, they're also interested in staying there and making it happen there. And when you go to Abidjan or to, of course, Lagos is crazy, and you can see that it's a kind of, okay, you're welcome, but I don't know you, I don't need you. I can, you know? You're most welcome to stay, but I don't need you to exist or to show my creativity. This is also a good thing.
Annalise, just thinking, is it possible for us to get back into the books, the publications that you have?
Which one? This one?
Both of them, Off the Wall and
Yes.
Something We Africans Got. And is it possible for you to give us a sense of, you know, some of those works? You began already by talking about Akimbode Akimbiyi, and I thought that was an interesting thinking or thought to expand on. Can you give us a sense of you know, some of the works and some of the photographers that really got you thinking that it is really important to make these books. Can you tell us why? While looking at the book, actually, because it's interesting. I think that we should see, since it's projected, I think we should see the work.
Well, yeah. I mean, I cannot. The question is, why do I choose them?
Just, you know, you are the one who put all of this together. And I know from the standpoint of someone who's got ideas and vision that you have a strong reason why you brought all of these works together in one place. So can we just discuss, you know, some of the reasons, but really focusing on the work, the photographers, all those things is going on in your head while you are putting together this.
Oh my God, don't ask me that, because this is you will run away. I'm crazy. No, I mean, for example, this one, it's not even, I think for myself, even most beautiful spread I could have done. Look, it's two different photographers. This is Togo, and this is somewhere in I think Kenya. This is Arle Johnson, and this is Vivian Sassen. And you see how it's, you know, and I can say that I did that spread. I was on my bed, you know, it's not very like, you know, big idea, blah, 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 playing with my computer and InDesign. And I put them together and was like, oh, great, amazing, I like my job. Because, you know, it's connecting, and it's not only aesthetic, also the thing that is this guy from Togo doing, you know, a picture that's linked to this woman from Amsterdam, but with a strong African, oriented aesthetic. And how do I put it together? Because it's a mix. These are two different, Cristina Demida in Portugal, David Usoshuku, Nigerian and Austrian. Another one is Raymond Dacqua from Côte d'Ivoire. And this is Campbell Addy. I don't know, I don't remember where he's from. This is again Vivian Sassen. This is a strong image from Ayanna V. Jackson about talking about the woman and the slavery and the black condition in the history. And why, again, another one very, very strong with Ayanna again, it's called Strange Fruits, if you know the story of this, if you have the song on your mind, and Roger Ballen. And how do I select? It's like, I mean, matching pictures showing different gazes and how it fits together, maybe only on my mind, but you know, we have Zanele, Leila Alawi, Dura Soussi. What do I have in mind when I do it? I don't know. I want to promote. I want to show the beauty. I want to show the strengths of the works. And it happens to be a lot of photographers in Bamako this year because I did this photography issue for the Bamako Encounters. And there's also testimony from what happens with African artists, for example, in Performa 17, because it's also important to show that there is places that they are absolutely, there are places that they, where they are showing, which are not labeled African. And I don't know. It's really like a work of, I mean, it seems naive, but a work of passion. I know that I want to do it. I know that there is something to talk about, to show, and I want to do it in the most beautiful way. And this is an amazing paper, very expensive. This is, I don't want, you know, you go there, and my bestseller in Paris used to be Colette. And Colette is not a bunch of Africans going there, right? They first buy it off the wall and something Africans got before they close. Very, because, oh, the cover is wow, and the paper is wow. And then you sit, you open it, you read, and you have another wow. What is shown, what is said? And this is, to me, the best way to enter all the room, to be on the table, coffee table books, not only in Africa, but everywhere, because first it's beautiful, and then it's interesting. I don't know if I answered your question, but it's mostly because I want to show the work. I want to tell stories. I want to show what happened, and that's why I'm doing it. No, pity.
Hello, and thank you for the great presentation. I had a question regarding circulation of both magazines, as you put it in the continent and outside. How do you sell it? And how much do you sell it in the continent and also outside? And just because you mentioned a couple of times the Instagram and digital publishing, and you also mentioned the VR, I guess, in your...
The
VR.
Ah.
VR,
okay.
That it will be also part of the publication. I wonder... how print and how digital publishing could reach the audience in the continent, and how important is it to be on the paper or digital? Do you think that you can reach more people in the continent by digital publishing? And I also really wonder how does it circulate on paper with this higher prices and so on in Africa?
This is a good question, and of course digital is much better than print, because they all have their smartphone in their pocket, you know. They're all about, they're paying with their smartphone, they're doing everything with their smartphone, taking pictures, a lot of things. So it would be very easy to spread the word through digitally, and not as heavy as this one, and also much more cheap. But as everywhere in the world, to be published, the printing is a validation of your work, of what you do, and you can keep it. And it's like it really exists. It's not somewhere in the internet that you can also have access everywhere in your pocket, every day in your pocket, everywhere whenever you want it. Great, but having a nice publication doing is also a sum of work. And well, it stays. It's there, and when it's doing, it's done with passion and avec du soin, comment tu dis ça, with care. It's even more important. But of course, and well, the price in Côte d'Ivoire, I must say, for me, it's I know it's quite expensive, because it's 2,000 CFA, which is about 38 euros, which is crazy. But I have saved 100 copies per issue that I want to be delivered to universities and high schools, but I just need someone to take them there, because it's about 100 copies, which is maybe I don't know how many kilos, and I cannot do it by myself. And I offer some copies to libraries of artists, so people who come there can have a look. I also have to try to have a deal with other institutions so they can have it in their library. But for now, I'm just, as I don't have any distributor myself, I mean, I'm doing by myself with my suitcase. So it's quite difficult. But I'm always say that from the beginning, for Something We Africans Got, I'm saving copies. So one day, if a big company could afford to send it there under their name, I will be happy to give the copies that I've been saving so far. Alors, toi, digital.
Out for the European distribution?
Well, it is, I mean, it's again the same thing, because... We are not doing that. I mean, you can also talk. We are not, well, can you say that you want to do something only for a certain kind of people? No. I mean, I'm doing this for everybody. But the thing is, they are more in Europe because we are in Europe, because it's more easy for me to take my EasyJet and to come here with a suitcase, or to take the Thalys, or to take the Eurostar, than to go to Abidjan when you have only twice 23 kilos. So when you remove my computer, my two beauty blah blah, and some pair of shoes, you have maybe 20 copies that you can carry. When you want to add it, it's like 160 euros to for another suitcase, which is, yeah, it's very expensive.
The result is that so it doesn't get to the where does it come from?
No, it does, because we're putting like maybe 10 copies to places that we can, they can, first, I think, I'm sure that Florina give copies to the person that who are there. I do give copy to artists, and when I go to places that are more open, and I can offer a few copies so people could have a look there, at least, at what I'm doing. Also,
thank you.
You have to be extremely informal about it. I mean, it's like, as I said, this one sells very well in Abrico. It's actually one of the places where we sell it at the moment. That's where it's mostly rising now. I go lengths of unorthodoxy to get them there. Like, for example, every time I meet someone, I'm like, meanwhile, I have a network of people who I know do the shuttle between European countries, and I have had people drive with their car from France to Amsterdam, get them with a distributor, and then send them off because they had an extra suitcase to take with them. That's how they get there. And that's the reality of things. Because now in South Africa, it's one of the few countries that actually has a really big, big chain of libraries, of book, of not of libraries, of bookstores. I mean, many countries have bookstores, but it's still, even for the bookstores themselves, it's really difficult. And even like for publishers, for example, Fortho, which is a publisher of photo books based in Johannesburg, even for them, it's really difficult to get their copies in. They also struggle a lot. It's just that the channels are very bad. And all of that would speak for digital, all of that. But what we are doing now is, because the young people, they always do a lot with digital, but I do not see myself just copying the same magazine in print and just doing the same thing digital. So what we're building up now is more like another platform, which is going to be launched at the same time when the new magazine comes out, where it's kind of like an online publication where editors can directly submit their work. So basically it's showcasing not only people that were in that magazine now, I just have to validate it, but it's sent in. So writers, illustrators that can just send stuff in. So it's kind of more like a platform that publishes different works. But that's how I see it. Now the VR is something that one of the participants brought in because he develops those apps. So he was like, hey, I'd love to do that for the magazine. I'd love to, like, because he does it in a way that he has to animate just before going into print. He will get the magazine, and that's when he will code for separate pages, the VR. And that was like an idea that he brought in. And again, it's quite cool because it's also kind of publicity for his app. So that's why that came up. But yeah, print is not easy to do, especially not to distribute in Africa. But as I said, I mean, I have this thing with the motorbikes. I can set that up in other countries as well. It's not a, there are ways. But it's just getting the magazine, and the problem is that it's still very difficult to find very good printers in Africa themselves. Like in Johannesburg, I've been getting in so many quotes, and in the end everybody said, hey, we actually don't do it like that either. Even they often go and print in Europe and then ship it down. It's just, yeah, right. There's still some work there as well. That it's just, it's different circumstances than you would have here in Europe. There's some more challenges.
I mean, I have to just to say that print to be published is a validation also for artists. They need to be published somewhere, so people will say it and say that think that it's a serious work as well. It's a part of the game. But about for the printing, we are few, but there is some in not far from Cape Town. I heard there was a good one, yeah. And also in Morocco and in Tanzania. But it's not covering all the continent, which is quite something.
Okay.
Merci.
Yeah.